CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Welcome to a fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today in studio, not really, actually remotely from his I guess you're still in Florida these days, right?
Yes, sunny Orlando, where it's a balmy, like, 78, 80, 85 something degrees today.
If you can't recognize that voice, it is, of course, Mr. Bill Meeks.
Yes, I am. Thanks for noticing me.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on, Bill. It is one of those things that I look forward to having you there, not pulling a Foster A, as you're saying in the chat room, which is a. Are you familiar with you're familiar with Rick Foster, our mutual friend?
Oh, very, very much so.
Person on the planet. So
we
Rick
slept
Foster
in the same room before.
So Rick Foster has a tradition where if he's on the show, it ultimately. He ultimately comes in screaming, you know, basically like as I do the whole count up to essentially get to the point where he'll always interrupt me. And I'll be like, three, two. He's like, hold on a second. I got to do something. Like, and so the joke has been, I think the has been either A, I've now made it my mission every time he's on to figure out a way to essentially get beyond that count. Like, he'll do his, he'll be like, I'll go, three, two, one. All right, welcome. I'll just jump in. Like, all right, let's do it. Welcome to the finals. He's like, son of a bitch, you didn't give me a chance. Like, no, I didn't. I'm not even giving you a shot. I mean, I'm giving you, you know, I'm taking away the belt from you. So, Bill, it is Christmas time.
It is.
It is the holidays. And I figured because last time I did sort of a pre-recorded show, today will be sort of a live one. But today is the holiday episode of 8-Bit Life. Next week will be the year-end review, you know, year-end wrap-up kind of thing. But I figured, you know, that near the tail end of this year, I try my best to get some of my favorite people on the show. Last week, of course, we had Kyle Murdoch, which is awesome. This week now.
And then the guy you had this week dropped out, so you asked me instead.
No, Bill, honestly, like, you're one of my, like, all-time favorite people to be on the show. I enjoy having you on because, this is becoming a pet peeve of mine, but not in a bad way. Like, I can't say anything about this, but I always appreciate it when the host or the guest has a halfway decent microphone.
Well, yes, I have a high OPR40 right here, you know, as Leo Laporte uses.
Well, because like it's.
I don't know if he still does.
I don't actually. I've. When is the last time you watched Twitch? Twitch. Twit content.
Twit. When was the last time I watched? Well, you know what? I still subscribe to the Twit podcast on my podcatcher on Downcast, and because I've been doing a lot of like, you know, weird data entry kind of work this week at work, I've been listening to podcasts. So I did just listen to Twit a couple days ago, but that happens maybe once every few months. I haven't watched it in forever.
I have
like
not
years.
I have not even remotely listened to Twit. I keep saying Twitch to Twit in like forever. And I feel kind of bad for that. I mean, obviously they're doing fine. Else we would hear, you know, that would be on the, like, I am assuming that would, if like Twit completely, like, you know, nosedived and tail down into things.
We'd see the smoke from the crash.
Yeah, like something would happen. People are talking about all the mic stuff. They're all talking about everyone with mics now. Because yeah.
Also, a snowshoe in there said you should get a copy of one of the Dog Boy Adventures books for your holidays. That's very true.
How is that doing? How are people?
Not great right now, just because I haven't had a lot of time to promote it, and I still need to write the last one.
Well, because I know you're. Are you still working on Tina, or I mean, all that kind of came out in some capacity or something.
I am still working on Tina. I wrote the first book and some change, and right. then I decided to take one of the episodes from the first book and make it into a screenplay, which we did a live reading of. You can go to infinitetina.com to watch it. Me and a lot of our listeners from the Universe Box podcast did a live reading of the screenplay, it was a pilot, more of a pilot. And then I really just need to get the time to dig in there and finish up the first book and get it published. That is a goal for early 2017 for sure.
Right, and I don't know if the chat room's commenting on my mic or whatever, because I'm trying to I'm trying to figure out if everything's kind of going down or not. I'm hearing the chat room say mics, and I don't know if it's me or their mics or whatever. So I cut out my preamp a bit just to see. I'm always like I always have a tendency, and this is something I'm going to ask you, Bill.
Okay.
Because I working on Scam School, I've kind of learned a thing or two about live audio and recording it.
Yeah.
I have a tendency when I do my own personal stuff to ramp my preamps way low just because I hate the concept of peaking.
Oh, yeah. Well, I very obsessively check my audio levels before we go live every time. But once we go live, I'm kind of like, it is what it is, you know, screw it, we'll do it live, sort of thing. And, you know, I just kind of go with the punches. But I definitely am very obsessive about making sure those audio levels are where they need to be before we start, which is kind of a pain because I have a short in my mixing board. And half the time, like, you know, we're talking, we're getting into the podcasting stuff where I'm in the middle of a brilliant point, which I always have.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like the audio will cut out and I'll have to like wiggle the gain a little bit to get it going again, which is such a pain. but you know, it happens.
It's interesting now. I don't know if my video is delayed or not, but like for some reason Skype's doing like this is where everything's becoming insanely weird. Cause I noticed there's a bit of delay in OBS and I don't know if it's a delay in that, but fuck it. Who cares? It's not dropping frames.
We'll do it live.
We are doing it live. Everything is so effed here, but we're learning here. We're all learning how all of this works together.
Yes.
So kind of going back to the holiday theme and stream of stutch, I'm curious, what are some of the weird holiday traditions you have, Bill?
I have a really weird one, actually. I've been kind of quiet about it this year, but I'm surprised you don't remember it from previous years. The weirdest holiday tradition I have is that I don't celebrate Christmas.
No, I knew that. But the thing is that you have a fucking tree behind you now, Bill. There's a goddamn Christmas tree behind you, Bill. At this point in time, I know you don't celebrate Christmas at all, but you have a goddamn tree behind you. And you could say like, oh, it's winter solstice tree or something. No, Bill, there are fucking lights and decorations. And I think there's a goddamn Santa Claus on there, Bill.
You caught me. No, I don't celebrate Christmas, but my wife and my children do. So as much as I hate it,
okay.
The tree's up right now. I'll be taking it down on Christmas night while they're over at her aunt and uncle's celebrating Christmas. I'm just tearing the fucker down, you know, on Christmas night as soon as they leave the house, like 4 p.m.
That's fair. That makes a whole lot more sense for sure. but like, well, because like for me, like a lot of my weird traditions are... Mm-hmm. Are silly things like listening to certain albums and music. Like one of the things I religiously listen to every year, when it comes to the holidays, there's a chiptunes album I play. I think it's called the 8 Bits of Christmas.
Nice.
It has like Hallie on there and Bit Shifter and Null Sleep, and they're all kind of Christmas covers and things like that. I always also listen to I also listen to Venture Brothers always for a while always put out like a Christmas theme song.
Yeah.
And I'll always play those as well, to kind of get me in the mood, because I celebrate Christmas. But the thing is like it's weird we talk about Christmas as a holiday, because and this is history, and you know, this is not me treading on any religion, because I am Catholic, and we, you know, I can say this and be honest about myself. Mm-hmm. But Christmas, you know, began as like the solstice celebration, and yeah. you had a lot of these
and your things. People co-opted it,
right? Exactly. We saw an opportunity of a holiday that people had forgotten about. And we thought, how is it that we can get our message across of the Savior Jesus Christ? And we said, you know what? Let's just take this holiday that exists. Let's apply it to all the other. Let's take the templates that's there, overlay stuff, and maximize our impact.
Yeah, yeah.
I love you, Bill. I love you to death, Bill. You're everything I love.
You mentioned Christmas music, though, and while I don't celebrate Christmas, I do. I grew up celebrating Christmas, so I love Christmas music. So I do try and listen to a lot of it before Thanksgiving. Probably my favorite album is Bare Naked Ladies actually released a Christmas album about 11 years ago, called Bare Naked for the Holidays, which is a really good mix of covers of classic Christmas songs like God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, Do They Know It's Christmas, a bunch of other stuff. B, a bunch of really weird MIDI, 1 minute long MIDI covers of Christmas tracks like what's the one by Paul McCartney and Wings? Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. But it's just like this really lame like MIDI piano, like, and then there's a bunch of original songs on there too. And one of my favorite, my two favorite original songs on there, there's one called Footprints in the Snow, which is about, it's sort of like a love song. It's written in the style of Willie Nelson. And it's more really a winter song than a Christmas song. And then there's also an original Hanukkah song, because Steve, the former co-lead singer of Bare Naked Ladies, was Jewish, called Hanukkah Blessings. And so I actually know some of so a little bit of Hebrew because of it, Baruch Akta Adonai Maloheinu.
What's funny is the only Hebrew I even remotely know, and I say remotely know, because I have no idea anything about it, but it's specifically because of Goonies. And I think it's like Buddha Hatta. Like it's I think it's yeah. exactly what you said, because it's like it said during like your bat mitzvah or bar mitzvah kind of thing.
That would make a lot of sense why it's in the psalm then. Because you know, religious ceremonies, I'm sure there's probably some common phrasing between all of them. You know, always is.
Let's see. People are saying in the chat room, the New Kids on the Block, Merry Christmas is clearly the best Christmas album ever, which I don't know quite yet if it is or is not. I think for me, a lot of it is when it comes to certain Christmas things, it becomes like these weird traditions. Cause like even like one of the strange ones in my family. And the thing is, I don't know, I don't think we did Thanksgiving. But it's usually typically during Christmas. And I guess we'll listen to Christmas Eve, just knowing how things are going to go. But for some reason, in Michigan, in Detroit specifically, when it came to my brain's blanking, like the classic radio station that was there, they would always play without fail, like around like 10 or something, Alice's Restaurant by I think it's what's his fucking name,
Billy Joel?
No, it's like Guthrie or something like that. I forget the guy's name, and I feel bad because like one of the guys I tend to like.
Yeah, I know the song.
And so that's the weird, like I had to take up the mantle of making sure to have like there are certain songs I have bought on my iPhone just because my mother doesn't have them and they're not streaming or something. So I've like take up the mantle of being like the one guy that had that song. So I have a feeling that, you know, come Christmas, my mother's going to be, you know, not screaming the high heavens, but just stating like, it's like, okay, we got to hear, Alice's, she'll without fail come to her brain that was the tradition. And you know, it's one of those things that you just kind of remember and such. But it's Arlo Guthrie that's saying in the chat. Thanks so much.
Yes, yes. Now that you say that, I knew that the whole time. I don't know why I didn't say it beforehand to help Roberto out.
But yeah, and so like I have like those sort of weird things where it's like music or it's it's that kind of stuff. Because like everything else is like normal: tree, lights, presence, you know, going to mass.
I mean, the only like tradition that's kind of unique to me I can think of, it isn't even a Christmas tradition. It's a New Year's Day tradition, because that's my birthday.
Okay.
So I traditionally, I always go out to generally a cheap as hell breakfast buffet somewhere for my birthday. My stepfather used to take me when I was a kid, and then it continued through college because I'd be like high school and college, because I'd be out partying on New Year's Eve until the wee hours. And then he'd come pick me up all hungover and stuff. We would both pretend that we didn't know that I was still kind of drunk. And then he'd take me out for eggs with cheese sauce on them at some truck stop or something. So we've kicked that forward and continued it. And now the kids and my wife take me. So
what is the preferred buffet for Mr. Bill Meeks?
Well, I mean, just in general, as far as a breakfast buffet is concerned, it got to be Shoney's, but there aren't that many left. Like, there just aren't that many left.
Okay, because I think I have only seen... Because I know Shoney's is more of an... Like, this is where we got to... This is where I start to get, like, weird, because I think I've been to a Shoney's in my history.
Really?
But I don't know where I've been to said Shoney's. I know it wasn't in Texas that I went to said Shoney's. So it'd have to have been like along the way coming down to Texas during the first drive that I've seen a Shoney's. Like, where does Shoney's exist in the grand scheme of the world? I mean, in terms of the United States.
Basically between Texas and the northeast of the country. The reason I remember it so fondly, and it's kind of like my go-to place when I think of a buffet, is because I used to live in Texas. I used to live right south of Houston in a little town called Katy. Brian Brushwood actually grew up there too.
Yeah.
And we'd go up to visit my family up in Virginia and then West Virginia in those areas. And the number one place to stop for a meal was Shoney's, because A, it was a buffet. B, it was super cheap. Three, they didn't have a problem with noisy kids, which we all were. So we would stop there pretty much for every meal, or at least breakfast and dinner. And then we might stop at like a McDonald's or something for lunch on the 36-hour drive between Katy and wherever we were going in the Northeast.
Yeah, it's because Shoney's is definitely that kind of place where I've seen it before. I know of it. It's like the way I equate it to like an IHOP, but it's not really IHOP. Mm-hmm.
A low class IHOP.
It's because like the thing is that like, okay, let's because if I rate those kind of diners, like Shoney's and Waffle House are no, because I said this is now we're getting into the weird thing of how do you rate chain diners?
Yeah,
like what would be the upper echelon? Like I would say like, and this doesn't mean that they're high class establishment. This just means like this is the, you know, in the tier of like fuck, it's 3 a.m. and I'm not in a town that has like cool 24-hour diner place. Where do I go? You know, because here in Austin we have like, you know, Galaxy Cafe at some place. We have 24-hour diner. Like we have, you know, some Kirby Lanes are 24 hours. You know, those sort of things. We have like the option of going.
They have
beyond.
Cool independent food establishments in Austin.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Really? No, but I'd say like the upper tier would probably be like your Perkins, your Bob Evans.
Yes.
And then a little bit down from that would be like your Denny's.
Okay,
your
so
IHOP.
Bob Evans here. Down on the farm is upper class in terms of chains.
Definitely. For the sausage gravy, if nothing else.
And then right below that is the Grand Fuck Slam at the Denny's. Yeah. Then I guess mid would be IHOP, because I'd say mid is IHOP.
You know what? I've only been to IHOP once or twice in my life, so I'll support your judgment on the matter.
Because like IHOP and Waffle House, like in terms of quality and in terms of, you know, you could argue whether you're more of a waffle person or more of a pancake person, and that's an entirely different argument, in the grand scheme of things. But in terms of like their executions and their attempts at making food, I would say they're both about roughly equivalent. So that puts Shoney's below IHOP then?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely, because I mean, I it tastes really good to me because of the memories. I'm tasting my memories, my childhood memories, right, as I eat there. But it's horrible food. It's horrible for you. It's horribly prepared. It's overcooked. The cheese sauce is just a heart attack in a little vat. it's not good food at all. It's more the memories that get it for me.
It's more the food doesn't matter, but the memories are gorgeous and amazing and beautiful.
And I mean, there's a reason why there aren't nearly as many of them around as there used to be too. You know, it's just not really good food.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you're right. I mean, none of them are really, I mean, and all of these, and this is no offense to any of these places. I mean, if you eat those salads.
No, I mean to offend Shoney's. Come at me, Shoney Bear. Come at me, Shoney Bear. God damn, I'll take you out.
Fucking bear. Because in that same vein, I always view things like, and I honestly, and this is what's the weirdest thing I think for some people will hear, and maybe this is just because, you know, of my Mexican heritage. But yeah. I have only one time in the history, maybe twice in the history of eating food at places. I think I've only walked in. Have you ever been inside a Crackle Barrel for like a meal?
I have. You know, it's not that bad.
I've only been there twice. Twice in my history of eating food is that. And it was all because we had a mutual friend, my friend Tanis at the time. For some reason, he had it up his. Because like we would hang out with him and another mutual friend of ours, Troy. And Troy was, in Dinesh's words, the joke was he was a token white guy, even though it wasn't. He grew up in fucking, I mean, he was white, but he grew up in Laredo. Like he understood half this shit and he spoke better Spanish than Tanis did. So, you know, there you go. but the joke was like that we'd go there and it's like, it's time to eat the food of your people, Troy. And it wasn't even my joke. It was Tanis's joke. I'm just like, I would go in there and the thing is that, and I don't know if this is typical of, I mean, it's typical of restaurants, but it was like really weird. But like, it was the most poorly lit place I'd ever been in. Like, it's like lit by like fucking candlelight. I guess purposefully it is, but I'm just like, this is, I don't think this is the place where we need to have, you know.
It's a chill place, man.
We don't need mystery and intrigue. Because you go into a Crackle Barrel and... It's this.
Well, first,
like,
you have to make it through the gift shop.
That's what I was about to say. That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, the gift shop is like the, like it is the it is the reject of like, you know, everything that was at your, you know, Renaissance Fair remake bullshit. Not Renaissance.
Although,
Fair. Sorry,
you know what? I made a great find at a Cracker Barrel gift shop. When we lived in Georgia, we went there for breakfast.
You mean better than the golf ball tee, checker puzzle thing?
Even better, because I mean, if your listeners don't know, I'm a huge Superman fan, and there was one animated Superman series I had never seen. It was made in the 1980s. It was written by the comic book writers who were writing Superman in the 80s, which is one of my favorite eras of Superman.
Right.
It was the Ruby Spears Superman cartoon. I had looked for it in all venues, both legal and maybe not so legal, trying to find it for years and years and years. We go to Cracker Barrel for breakfast one morning, and there it is in the DVD spinner rack. Ruby Spears, the entire series. And it was $20, well worth it. It still, I think, probably the best Superman animated series I've ever seen.
That's pretty. That's an epic find. I wouldn't even remotely think of because the last time I was there, like it was those things that you go into that you typically see at like museum gift shops.
Yeah.
Except that museum gift shops, there's also included things like, you know, if you go to a place and they have like a very famous piece of artwork, or they have like, you know, the Egyptian, you know, touring thing, like they'll tell you those kind of things, which is great.
Yeah.
But it was the first time I had been at one of those places, and you go into the gift shop and it's all those sort of like weird, like hyper weird reject stuff of like I mentioned the puzzle where you move the golf ball tees to do something, or the, you know, my favorite ones are the, I guess, I don't know what they're called, but like the metal tchotchke things where it's like nails bent to each other. It's like, solve the puzzle by separating
the
nails.
Nail puzzle thing. Yeah.
And I've never quite understood like who buys that stuff? I mean, you've always bought comics, which is different because, like, you got lucky in that regard. Like, you weren't going into a Crackle Barrel thinking, you know what, today's the day I'm going to buy that, you know, cork board or something.
truckers, man. Like, there was a when I was living in West Virginia for high school and college, there was a place called the Cherokee Trading Post in Dallas Pike, and it was right next to like two big truck stops and a strip club, and it did a ton of business because truckers will just go in there and buy these little pieces of crap to, you know, give to their family when they get back home, or, you know, I don't know, keep them in the bed of the truckers. I mean, I don't know what truckers do.
Well, that's the, yeah, but, okay. That gives me something, because I always wonder, you know, who, like there are certain things I can understand. Like I can understand going into a Buc-ee's, you know, for those who have no idea, who are not in the States or don't have the honor of having a Buc-ee's in your, you know, city, state, or, you know, on your way back to wherever you're going.
Province.
You know, Buc-ee's is an institution where you go in there, there's everything there, and they have a whole bunch of crap you can buy. But they at least do a decent job in Texas, in that either A, they make sure they brand it with their with that goddamn, you know, beaver. you know, with that the literally the, you know, if you want to talk about pagan idols, like they have a statue a goddamn like almost gold statue there of the fucking beaver.
Well, I was gonna say, you said he was damned by God, so I mean it must be pretty pagan.
Well, you go there if you go there, but anyways, so they have everything with at least, you know, Buc-ee's face on there. It's like Buc-ee cooler, Buc-ee t-shirt, all that kind of stuff. That makes sense, because, you know, you're gonna want to sell your mascot. But they also have like Texas theme things if you're in a certain one. I assume if we were in Florida, they would have, you know, some
oranges,
type of crossover. Yeah, something
oranges and Disney. That's all there is in Florida. Hey, oh, and meth heads. That too.
that I want to see that now. I want to see the
the little token like novelty meth head made out of an orange.
That would be great because
it could be like a before and after picture, because, you know, if you've made out of an orange, then you just put them on the shelf, you take the before picture, you wait a couple of days, and then you get the after picture, face is all sunken in. Happened. You know, big holes in the face and everything, you know, it'd be good.
That was the one thing I always remembered. Like, I was at a I think we were like visiting on a field trip or something, like the police station. And ultimately, you know, on every police station, they have the, you know, don't do drugs, kids, and everything else. And they had like the before and after meth pictures, which are some of the most like if you ever want to see like a picture of like before and after and just ask what went wrong. You know, it's that kind of thing. Like, if you didn't know meth was involved, you're like, Jesus, what happened to her? And it's like,
Never seen one of them, just go watch one of those behind the scenes videos from The Walking Dead where Chris Hardwick goes and gets turned into a zombie. And he's like, hey, guys, I'm going to go get turned into a zombie. Whip, whip, zip, record scratch. And he walks back out and he's all zombie. Like, that's basically what it is. It's the difference between Chris Hardwick and zombie Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment and such. But no, but what I was thinking of when it came to the meth thing, just fuck it and go full throttle and you know, have the Buc-ee crack pipe, the Buc-ee meth. I don't know. I guess you smoke meth. I really don't know how you consume meth. Okay.
I won't tell you why I know, but
well, you don't know, but I'm certain.
I know.
Well, no, not you, Bill.
Okay.
Not Bill Meeks. Bill Meeks has no idea. However, a mutual acquaintance of ours, Philly Bleeks, he may know, because Philly Bleeks did some shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this right now. Out of all the things, I don't even remember when the fuck we invented that.
I think it was in a hangout. We were doing a hangout with some other, you know, early members of Chat Realm. And I decided to tell some stories from college, but I didn't want to own up to them.
That's what it was. That's right. Because I remember it was those weird things where it's just like we had made the idea of like, I didn't do it. But this guy, but let me tell you about this friend of mine. Let's call him Philly Bleeks.
Philly Bleeks.
And it became this like running gag of the night where we had basically made an insane back. I think we made like a backstory for his, that it was like this man that he was just a complete asshole. I think someone had made even a Photoshop with like you in sunglasses and just like, you know, just middle fingers left and right, like the in total, the inverse of Bill, and that was the joke, is that, you know, that Bill Meeks was an upstanding, you know, model citizen, you know,
Philly Bleeks, man.
Philly Bleeks parties fucking hard. He likes his, you know, he parties hard and he doesn't give a fuck.
He kicks names and takes ass. That's all I'm gonna say.
So. And I always loved that was our joke, that became this thing, and ever since then, like, I always, it's like, no, you don't know. But Philly knows. Like, he's done some stuff, and I don't even know what he's done. But yeah, I mean, because holidays, I always think of, and the only reason I even think of, like, things like all this sort of weird travel stuff is that usually during the holidays, I'm driving home. And you know, no matter where I've lived, when I've, you know, once I, you know, left my house, so to speak, it's become the whole thing of, like, okay, well, now I live in Austin and my family's over here, and so I have to take at least a 3-hour drive to someplace. And so I always, you know, I always think of these things because I'll drive by certain locations, and you'll drive by a Buc-ee's or all these things. And it's funny to for me to walk into, you know, truck stops. Because I always go into those stores because they're all roughly the same, whether it be a Buc-ee's or what is it? Flying J? I think that's the other one.
That sounds familiar.
Like, there's Flying J, and then there's whatever, you know, I don't know what else there is, but, like, it's so funny to go by those places. Because for me, they're always in the middle of nowhere and there's nothing else around them.
Yeah.
And yet there's a Burger King like attached to it.
Oh, yeah, or, like, to get to the bathrooms, you have to walk through a Burger King, a gas station, and a place where you can rent a shower.
Yeah, there's, like, a lot of... I mean, it makes sense, and I fully understand the plight of the trucker, where you're kind of just, you know, going from place to place and you know, everywhere to everywhere, and you're hoping everything's kind of working out. So I get that there's this plight, if you will. But I'm always just fascinated when I go to those places... And I just see all this stock of merchandise, and I go, okay, I get the idea of bringing, like, the kid back a toy, and it's like, look, kid, I brought you back, you know, random toy from here. Hi, honey, you know, let us do
It's not just bringing the kid back a toy. It's being on a road trip, having to stop at one of those godforsaken places and needing to get the kid back in the car because he's already been in there 5 hours and he doesn't want to get back in after you take him into pee.
So, okay. So you probably have some horror stories from like car driving, because you have children. Like, you have,
I have a brood.
You have a kid who's
been, I have 47 children.
You've exploited your child before for chat room video entertainment in the past. So
definitely.
So
definitely.
Well, what was it?
I put him to work.
Did you take him to work?
No, I put him to work in the video, which I fired him.
Right, exactly. It was the fire. Yeah. What was it? But daddy, why are you fired? Did he even understand what was happening?
A little. He understands it more now. It was, but daddy, I love you. Listen here, you little shit. You know.
How do you explain that to your kid now?
Well, the thing is, when we shot it, we actually did it separately. We both sat at the same seat at the table, and then I just cut it together to look.
Right, like, of course, you're not going to curse out your kid.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, we shot it separately, and I showed him the finished product after it was done. But he got it and everything, and he was just excited because at the end of it, because, you know, the it's a 10-second thing, but, you know, the premise of it is I'm firing him because he's been a disappointment, and we got a new model. We got, because he had his little brother, so yeah, I put him in the video too. And then the last shot of him is him walking down the street
with the
by himself with the backpack
and the was it the Incredible Hulk theme playing in the background for the television show?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and so he was just pumped that he got to walk down the street by himself, because we hadn't let him do that before. I was like, you know, anything for this film. So.
Oh my God, that's even more adorable. That he's just like, I'll fake this, daddy. I get to walk down the street by myself. Oh yeah. Exactly. Finally adult now. I don't need daddy anymore. I can go on my own. I can head to trucker. I can now go to truck stops on my own, like Pilots and Loves.
I will say though, I forget how old he was then. He was maybe 4. I never want to direct a 4-year-old again. Cause I still have the outtakes laying around somewhere on a hard drive somewhere, but I as angry as my character was in the video, I was getting pretty angry myself because he wasn't getting his lines right.
Well, he's brand fucking new to this stuff, and here's his daddy, his evil crazy daddy,
slapping him, saying, "Say the line, say the line." Well, if you remember how those were back then, the 10-second film festivals they did, they didn't give you a lot of time. They basically announced it a couple hours before the show. And, you know, half the time I'd be working, so I'd have to try and cobble something together in 15, 20 minutes, you know. So.
Yeah, no, they basically did not give any kind of time to edit those things.
To prepare.
But that was the point. But
I never won one of those either. I'm still kind of burned about that.
I don't think
if you talk to Brian or Justin, let them know that.
I'll mention to Brian next time I see him, because I'd like to say Hughes won one.
He did, yeah, for his shorts.
Well, because one of my favorite ones that Brant did, and I think he did this one, and last I think we talked last, he mentioned this. My favorite one he did was that it was a 10-minute festival. And he woke up and he ran his computer and it was like NSFW show canceled. It's like, no.
Yeah. It was like your worst possible future or whatever, something like that.
And yet we live in that future now. We live in the worst possible timeline.
And things turned out okay for him.
Yeah. So. And we'll see. Yeah, for sure. It's definitely turning out well for him.
I got to hang out and talk with those guys a few months back because they weren't in Orlando.
Yeah, I heard that. You guys did the whole, I think we talked about the last time you did the whole Disney thing and drank around the world kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was a blast. That was an absolute blast. For one, getting to go to Disney without the kids. that was nice. Getting to catch up with those guys was really fun too.
I haven't seen Justin. I'm like, for me, like right now, it's funny as we approach the end of the year and as we get kind of closer to things, like my brain is right now, like it's funny, around December is when my brain starts thinking about March, because that's when South by Southwest happens, and like I'm jonesing for that information. They just announced recently that South by Gaming will be sort of a wristband event only, and you have to actually buy one. They're raising the price January 20th. I already bought my wristband, so I bought it for like $36, so I'm good for all 3 days. But it's definitely going to be an interesting South by in that regard, because I have no idea what that's going to do with the attendance, because usually, you know, it being a free event, attendance is like high, and I wonder what will happen if it's like it's a paid event, if attendance will lower.
Is South by still like the place to be? Because I remember, you know, years ago, it was all the new apps premiered there, and you know, all the new movies premiered there, and all these podcasts were doing live episodes from there.
It is and it isn't. It is still the place to be in that. Live things are going down and a whole slew of stuff is happening, you know, no matter what you do, it's always, you know, things are going to happen and there ain't, you know, there's all that's still going to go down. Mm-hmm. It isn't, because like you can, like we live in a time now where you can just, if you chose to, you could get your fucking app launched and everything else. Like it's not even, you don't necessarily need, the clout of South by to get anything, but it still has the allure to some people that holy crap, it's South by Southwest, and you know, I always every time I'm at a South by event and I'm in line for something and I actually see people, especially people with interactive badge, because this is where like you can kind of tell things are shifting in that, because they basically they had made a badge change where if you bought interactive badge, there are some crossover music event stuff that you can get into. And they had been fooling around with the crossover stuff, but they basically now have said, like, if you have a badge, it basically, like, when it comes to music events, you can get into some of the music events with a badge.
Yeah.
An interactive badge, no less, which is insane. And you can get into some interactive stuff with a music badge or film badge or whatever. That's insane, too. It's basically, like, if you buy that track badge, like the film, whatever, and you don't, you know, whatever your that version is, like you get priority seating, if you will, to that. like priority access. Like, in other words, like there's certain, you know, interactive panels. It's like, all right, interactive people come in first, and then all their badges second, you know, and like you have like kind of a delayed thing. So they've been changing it for this time go round, which I'm intrigued what's going to happen. I have no idea what's it's ultimately going to go down, because it's going to be a very weird, not weird, but just sort of a different vibe that I'm used to when it comes to South by Southwest. And I have no idea what the ultimate plan is going to be. We'll have to see what's going to happen, but I am definitely excited for this year, just because it's going to be one of those. I mean, because we have all the usual stuff happen. There's probably be a Shwood event. There's probably a jury, you know, Shwood JuryCon Night Attack event. There's going to be Night Attack. But like some musicians I haven't seen in a while are coming back down to South By. Then I'm kind of
excited. You'll have some weird internet person crashing on your couch.
I probably will. That's sort of what I don't know who, like, because I this year I kind of want to, like, and not because I don't like seeing the same people. I love seeing the same people, and they're all great. But I'd love to see some new faces. Like, I'd love to see if Chris. Like I would love if Chrissy Cates came down to South By. Like that'd be fun, because I've never actually hung out with her in person, and you know, I've never had any. I've never had the need to go to New York, although maybe I should start, you know, Wednesday plan a trip, because I have enough friends now in New York to go visit. But I would love, because I would love for her, because she's such a music person. Like, I'd love for her to come during South by Music and just kind of just bum around and kind of go listen to some random bands. And I'm like, it's like that's been my like goal, is like somehow getting people to come to music. Just because everyone always comes to, like, you know, come watch Brushwood and Team, and no one ever comes to any of the other.
What started it, kind of?
Well, yeah, because like no one comes to, you know, everyone always, you know, goes to Interactive, and they don't really go to Interactive. They just kind of they basically go to the free Interactive stuff or the Brushwood Interactive stuff, and then they kind of, you know, phase out unless something crazy happens, like, oh look, not, you know, it's now this people or whatever. Like, it has to be something very, very, very crazy, different, for it to even remotely, be something new. And so I always think of that, when I get around this time, because, like, again, it's, you know, like, as things get closer to the end, I tend to think of like, okay, what's next on the horizon, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of stuff.
What's coming up in 2017?
Because 2016 has been a shit of an end. Even though I'm gonna do a year end wrap up next week, we can kind of do a little bit of a tease now. Because, like, who's died this year?
Nobody. Everyone lived.
Everyone.
For once, everybody lived.
No, Bill. Like, David Bowie died this year. Prince died this year. We had Zsa Zsa. I don't know if that's even important to Zsa Zsa, but to anyone else.
Zsa Zsa died? Oh, no.
Wasn't she? Okay. Was Zsa Zsa Gabor the one on Green Acres?
No, that was her sister, Eva.
Okay.
Gabor.
Thank you.
They were almost twins, I think, if not twins. So I can see where you get confused. Shoot, Zsa Zsa was the one who slapped a cop back in the 80s.
Okay, that makes sense. That.
Yeah.
Well, because like I was thinking a lot of this stuff, just like of the things we've lost, and this is not even getting to politics, but it's like it's been a bit of a rough year. Although there are things to look forward to, like, especially you get to look forward to some awesome things coming down the pipeline. Mr. I live in Florida.
Do I?
Yeah. You heard what's going to come to Universal Studios someday soon.
Oh yeah, Nintendo Land.
That, I'm so fucking jealous. Like
yeah, but that's not. It's not going to be for a couple years at least.
Like, it's like fuck Potter. You know, fuck Potterland. Fuck that. You know, fuck Diagon Alley. You know, Butterbeer can kiss my ass. Nah, fuck it. I want to go down a pipe. I want to travel through the Mario World.
I want to ride the boots.
I want to ride the the Kruby boot. Hurry up! What the fucking shoe is? The shoe. I want to ride in that roller coaster. The shoe roller coaster.
No, I want an interactive Zelda experience where I can get in there and dungeon crawl.
Okay,
you know, and you have to solve puzzles and nothing VR, like actual stuff.
All right, so we're almost out of time. So let's take this last moment in this really crazy, you know, random, you know, no plan whatsoever holiday show.
Okay.
To say our hopes and dreams for 2017.
hopes and dreams for 2017.
We'll start with you, Bill, since you know I'm
really?
Because you're my guest, and I am curious what much like me, you've got your own internet thing. You do the whole universe box. You've done a lot of different changes. I think you've there's all these shows you're watching and analyzing and stuff like that, and you've done a lot more streaming stuff. And I know you're even at this time kind of even delving the idea of like how to do Twitch and how to approach that and everything else.
Yeah.
Like all the new IRL stuff and now they have I didn't even realize they have a talk show category, which kind of excites me.
So all my shows are appropriate for Twitch now. So.
Yeah, so are mine in a weird way. We'll get to that one day, maybe. But
yeah, I'd say for 2017, hopes for 2017. I'd really like, because we're doing a bunch of podcasts. Most of them are sort of fan casty, talking about shows and things like that. We rebranded our Universe Box podcast to be more entertainment news, and I think it's really damn good. I think the production value is good. I think the content is good. The numbers aren't where I want them to be. So I'm really hoping to kind of break or crack, the discovery nut on that in the new year. So that's one of my big hopes that happens. I hope that I fulfill my obligations to publish at least one Infinite Tina book and the last Dog Boy book. I want to take off like the 10 pounds I gained this year. Let's see. What else do I want? Besides that, I just want peace and love and happiness for the entire world. And you said anything I asked for on this show I would get, right?
I don't know if you'll get it, but
no, Roberto, you said I would get it if I asked for it. So that's what I want: peace and love for the entire world.
Okay,
and you have to deliver it.
Oh, I have to. Okay.
I just asked for it. You have to deliver it.
Well, in that regard, then I wish I knew how to. Well, I guess like for me, my hope, much like you, is growth in terms of stuff. But like the one, like I have, like every year, I have gotten a little bit overzealous on my goal count. And so I've done my best now to kind of strip down and sort of say, like, what are the five primary things I want to do? And one of my weird ones, and I don't even know how I'm going to approach this, but it's going to be interesting how I approach it, because I'm getting a little jealous seeing that blue checkbox in Twitter.
Oh, you want to get verified?
I'm going to try my damnedest next 2017 to get verified for something, and nice. not have to pay an ad agency to do it or something like that, because I'm not important enough to do it. And I need to figure out I need to start doing certain things to put me in perspective, in a place to where I can get verified for what I do. Mm-hmm. But I kind of want to get that. I think that might be a fun weird goal to try to get, is to get verified in 2017 for no apparent reason whatsoever. So there might be there's certain things they tend to like. They hate pixelated things. I may change my icon to be more my face and stuff like that.
Actually put yourself on your social media profile for once.
Yeah, I mean, my name's on there, my page. I mean, it is me. It is my icon. And if you look at it, it's like that looks like the cartoon pixelated version of Roberto. It's like, yeah, because it is. But put a real picture up there and start getting that into effect.
So basically what you're saying to the Twitter verified team is, pay attention to me. None of you are safe until I have my blue check mark.
Well, because it's
your families.
I have friends who are, granted, I have friends who have a larger follower count than me. Mm-hmm. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not by a heck of a whole lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of my growth on Twitter has never been ever done by everything I've done has never been through like, follow me on Twitter. I mean, I've done like follow me on Twitter, but it's never been like any weird social pushes. Like it's always been organic and
or some weird thing where you go follow 100,000 people.
Right. I've never done any of the techniques that everyone's like, follow these many people and do the follow back. Like I've kept it to be this thing of like any follower I have has been purely organic in nature, and has never, and I've always had, I've always been proud of my ratio of like like of followers to who I'm following, and stripping and you know, consistently stripping down my who I'm following list, because, you know, that's where I've made sure to have, you know, to be proud of the fact that I don't, you know, artificially inflate my numbers, as they say. And so I like the idea of like, cool, well, if I could do that and get verified and not have to pay anybody to get verified, that seems interesting. And that seems silly enough and funny enough and a strange enough goal to see if I can achieve it.
It's a good goal.
It's a weird goal, but it's definitely one that
you know
what
you should do? You should, what you do, take a screenshot of your Twitter profile, Photoshop in the blue check mark, tweet that out, and then maybe it'll trick them into doing it. They'll be like, oh, it got turned off again after you tweeted this. You know, we can just turn it back on. That'd
sure,
be fine.
Sure. That will work. Twitter has all those records to...
That's my social media strategy. Cheating my way to the top.
Don't get me wrong. There'll be a couple cheats here and there, but I've done my best to keep it honest, and I kind of like keeping honest. Bill, always a goddamn pleasure to have you on the show. If people want to actually follow you on Twitter and watch your content and help promote your discovery for stuff, where can people watch your stuff, man?
Okay, well, as far as on Twitter, you can follow me at Bill Meeks. You can follow all of the podcasts we do, including Universe Box, the pop culture news show, Legends of Gotham, show about Gotham, We're So Lost, which is a show where we're going back and watching Lost as if we've never seen it, because we haven't. And then Greetings from Storybrooke, which we actually don't host anymore. We gave it over to some previous listeners of ours because we thought Once Upon a Time kind of sucked. But if you like Once Upon a Time, Greetings from Storybrooke, all of those are available through universebox.com. And as they were mentioning, as far as my books and stuff, you can check out dogboyadventures.com, or just go to Amazon, Audible, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, a bunch of other book outlets and audiobook outlets, and just search for Bill Meeks, and you can get Dog Boy Adventures, Trials of King Sparrow, a couple other good ones in there too. So
for sure. Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 there in the chat rooms and the Twitters. If you want to catch previous episodes of podcasts, you can go to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. There you'll find links to show notes, the previous episodes, the podcast Twitter account, which is at 8bitlife podcast. And of course, after you've, you know, supported Bill and you haven't had like luck and say, oh wow, I found $5 after watching Bill's stuff, go to patreon.com/8bitlife and help this podcast become bigger, better, and more awesomer.
That's funny, because I literally drop $5 anytime I'm doing stuff, so at least people are finding it. Hopefully they can give it to you.
Hopefully. So that's it for today. Tune in next time to talk to another geek, also completely and utterly random. Bye, people.
This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.